Does your company need to hire?
Sales account manager, regional sales manager, accounting manager, senior payroll manager, regional manager, customer service rep, bilingual telephone banking rep, marketing coordinator, recruitment coordinator, office coordinator, finance and payroll administrator, property administrator, administrative clerk, administrative assistant, clerical assistant, executive assistant, account executive, mailroom clerk, data entry clerk, accounts payable clerk, human resources clerk, corporate law clerk, financial accountant, chief operating officer, event planner, receptionist, data entry specialist.
The Bag Group are leading Canadian-owned and operated staffing and resource experts, trusted by Canadians for more than 40 years, because it's never just about a job. It's always about the right fit. Head to BAGG.com and find the right fit today.
All right, we're back. Thanks for tuning in. In 1991, Wallace Jeffs was coerced to become an FLDS polygamist.
What is FLDS? Do we remember?
Yeah, it's a fundamentalist Latter-day Saint.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Can I continue with the bio?
For those people who don't know, besides me, what does FL...
Oh, I'm so glad you're here, Tim. In 2011, Wallace rebelled against the sect and the FBI helped him reclaim his kidnapped children. Then an accident, quote-unquote, put Wallace into a 45-day coma. Growing up as half-brother to future fundamentalist Latter-day Saint prophet Warren Jeffs, Wallace Jeffs tried to follow FLDS teachings. Fundamentalist Latter-day Saint, Tim.
Thank you, Drew.
After he built a successful business, the church required him to marry a second wife. Wallace fathered 20 children, but he never felt comfortable with polygamy or many other FLDS beliefs. As his prophet brother increasingly manipulated him, Wallace started hearing about FLDS atrocities. On the day the FBI arrested Warren Jeffs for child rape, the prophet was en route to reclaim Wallace's second wife for himself. Wallace defied the prophet and soon ended up in a coma. Though Wallace feared FLDS sabotage caused his car crash, he kept fighting the sect. Today's movement against male abusers. His story reminds us that power and position don't corrupt all men. In 2018, Wallace Jeffs found resolution by marrying an LDS woman in the Salt Lake Temple. And at the same time, he sort of renews our concern for the thousands who still live under FLDS control, including some of Wallace's own children. The book is called Destroying Their God, How I Fought My Evil Half-Brother to Save My Children. The website is destroyingtheirgod.com, destroyingtheirgod.com, and he joins us now on the Drew Marshall Show. Wallace, have you been doing a whole bunch of interviews? I can imagine. I mean, this story has a whole lot of sensationalism to it, so I can imagine the media is just licking their chops about your book, yes?
Yes, it's drawing quite a few. It has quite a following so far, so yeah, I've been very busy.
Good. Well, I'm glad. I'm not glad about the stuff that you've had to process and you know, I mean, wow. So let's just get into the kicked out thing. Were you kicked out? Did you leave? How did the actual I'm no longer an FLDS thing go down? How did it really, really go down?
Well, you have to understand we were taught what they called one man rule, which meant the prophet ruled every aspect of your life. He controlled everything. You owned nothing. He owned everything, including your wives and children. So when he gave an edict, you followed it and turned everything over to him. So by getting kicked out is basically him saying you're no longer a member, you're no longer worthy of a family, and you have to leave everything behind and just go off and alone. So but it was a matter of him just making that decision and I was gone.
So what if he just stayed, though? I mean, they're not going to physically drag you out, are they?
Yeah, at that time they owned all of the property. They had control of all of the property that we were living on.
Right.
So they had the ability and the right to evict anybody they wanted. So yes, they would physically remove you.
Okay. Are you, let's see, yeah. It doesn't sound like you are anymore, so let me just clarify. Are you still a polygamist? No, you're married to one wife. Do you have any desire to marry another wife?
Are you kidding?
Okay. I just had to get it out there. I just had to get it out there. All right. Well, let me ask you.
No,
you know,
the answer is no.
I had a conversation with a guy who's doing some renovations on my house. We're chatting about your story, and he said, well, really, I mean, other than the fact that to the rest of us it seems strange, what's wrong with polygamy? So what is wrong with polygamy?
Well, it's for two adults to agree to live together, I think, is one thing. But when you do it under the guise of religion and you're going to push that onto the children you're going to bear through that polygamous relationship, it tends to bring out the worst in people. If two adults want to do it, I have no problem with it. But when you bring children into it and you start indoctrinating the children, which I was, I think it's not healthy for children to grow up under that type of relationship.
Why? How come?
It's confusing. Oh, it's confusing. You don't ever get close to either your father or your mother because you have several mothers. You can't say, oh, this is my mother, I'm going to get attached to her. You have to get attached to all of them. And the mother sharing the father, you never really get that close father-son-daughter relationship, because he's being shared between all these other families. And it's not just wives, it's these wives have children, so you're talking about several families trying to integrate together, and it's just not healthy for children.
Do you regret having 20 children? I know you have 28 now, but we'll get into that soon.
I love every one of my children. I wouldn't say I regret anything about them.
No, but you talked about
great children.
Yeah, you talked about how difficult it is for children to become close to the parent when there's so many of them, and you had 20 mm-hmm. of them. So do you have any regret because you're not? I mean, obviously you're not close with most of your kids because of the breakdown of everything. But let's say you were still going along and still part of that community and society. Is it actually possible to become close to 20 children?
It is, but it's a lot of work. I did try. I tried very hard because that's what I always wanted. I always wanted that father-son relationship that I never had with my father, so I wanted to have that with my children. So I did all I could to do that, yes, but it's very difficult when you have that many children, absolutely.
And how many siblings do you have, Wallace?
I have 65 siblings.
Yeah, so, you know, everybody else hears that and goes, well, no wonder you weren't close to your father.
Exactly, and he had 85 wives, so it was a lot different than my situation. But, yeah, it's just very difficult to try to get that individual relationship when you have that many children. And if I have a regret, it's just that maybe I could have done better and tried to get closer to each one of them and just done a better job of it. But mm-hmm. it's difficult. There's no two ways about it. It's difficult to do.
Tim is busting over here with a question. Yes, Timothy?
Is there a point to the polygamy? Okay, obviously there's the simple way, you know, men like, you know,
are you trying to say having sex with a whole bunch of different women allowed?
Okay, no. It's more. There's a lot of children involved here. Is there other than, you know, the obvious men like women, blah blah blah? Are we trying to get more kids out there? Are we trying to populate? Is there a reason behind it? Is that why?
Why do Mormons, especially FLDS Mormons, have so many children? Is the question.
Because in the FLDS, we were taught that your kingdom was your wives and your children. And the more wives and children you had, the greater your kingdom would be on the other side. Okay. And in order to get to the highest degree of the celestial kingdom, they taught that you had to have at least 7 wives, or you couldn't get to that highest degree. So the purpose behind it was to attain that, what they call godhood. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't do that without plural wives.
So the FLDS talks about godhood, but the LDS talks about godhood as well, true?
Mm-hmm, correct.
Right. So for our listeners who may not understand this, I've heard it explained that after death, that the couple with many children, the couple would go and there would be somewhere in the universe that they would go, and they would sort of become I guess for all intents and purposes, gods of another planet, and the beginning of things would start with your family, and that's why you have so many kids.
Correct. It's how do you become anything if you don't have a following or a family? Family is everything, and families are forever. So
right.
To attain to anything on the other side, you must be part of a family.
Right. Wallace, did you marry... I want to make sure I'm getting the facts right here, because I know with your story, it's so easy, because of the sensational aspect of it, it's so easy to spin off into Jerry Springerville and just get the facts wrong.
Yes.
Did you marry your niece?
A half-niece. She was a half-niece. She was the daughter of a half-sister.
And how old was she?
She was 18 when we got married.
Okay.
I was 32.
Okay. Do you look back on that and go, yeah, that's not cool? Or do you go, I see?
Well, I questioned it severely at the time when my father, who was the prophet at the time, approached me and said, I want you to take this girl. I said, wait a minute, she's related to me. Are you sure about this? And he said, yes, that's what the Lord requires, and if you don't do it, you will be damned. So it's not like you really have a choice. It's you do it or you lose everything. But yeah, I severely questioned it. It was very odd to me. But when the prophet says you do something and you're taught that he's the prophet, you do it or you lose everything.
Which,
it was very awkward.
Which was harder for you to deal with? When the prophet told you that you were going to marry a half-niece, a relative, or when the prophet... Mm-hmm. Was going to come and take your wife as his wife?
Well, he doesn't come to you and tell you that. He does it in secret. He will come to your wife and say, you no longer belong to him, you belong to me, and he would perform a sealing before the man ever knew about it.
I'm sorry, perform a sealing? You mean a sealing, like a sealing ceremony? In other words, you are sealed together as a couple?
Correct, uh-huh.
So there's no...
He would do that without any knowledge, without anybody's knowledge. He would just call the lady in and say, here's what's going to happen. It happens right then and there, and nobody even knows about it.
And so
that's how secretive it is.
The initial thing that made you realize that your half-brother, Warren Jeffs, was not actually the hand of God or working on behalf of God... Was when you saw a picture of him kissing an 11-year-old, his new wife? Did I get that right?
Correct, yes. I saw a picture. I was in a truck stop walking by a newsstand, and
right.
I saw this picture of Warren hugging and kissing this 11-year-old girl who I knew very well. I knew how old she was. She was just barely 11. It wasn't like she was close to 12. She just barely turned 11 years old. And I thought, wait a minute, this is not what we've been taught by any means. And we were actually taught not to do that. And here he was kissing this 11-year-old girl. And that's when I thought, okay, there's something really wrong here. And that's what really sparked my degradation of the FLBS church. That was just, I couldn't tolerate that.
Who is your religious authority now, Wallace?
The mainstream LDS church.
Okay.
I believe that's where the priesthood is. We were taught in the FLDS church that the priesthood had taken a curve with a man named John W. Woolley, who was an apostle in the church and didn't like the fact that they weren't going to have plural marriage anymore, and he went off and started this other church. So that's where, with me, it was always, where is priesthood lineage? And I thought it was with the FLDS Church because I was born and raised in it. But I now believe that it's in the mainstream LDS Church, not the FLDS.
You were wrong once. Could you be wrong again?
Anything's possible, yes. But that's my testimony.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've had over the last...
And I've researched it very carefully, too. When I was in the FLDS... There was nothing to prove their claims. It was all just hearsay. It was, this man said this man said that. But there was absolutely no proof of what they said. With the LDS Church, I can I can trace it, and there's proof of this priesthood lineage. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I have researched it very carefully. I haven't just jumped into it. I researched it. And based on my research, I believe that that's where it is.
So Warren Jeffs is in prison for how long?
45 years plus 22 life terms. So he's not eligible for parole until he turns 95. So basically the rest of his life.
Right. What was he finally busted on?
He was busted on rape of a child, the 11-year-old girl that I saw him kissing. He was convicted of raping her.
But there were other females under the age of consent that he married and I guess technically raped as well, yes?
Correct. He had 12 that we know of. He had 12 underage wives. So, yeah, he was guilty of 12 times, but none of the other girls would come forward, and they couldn't prove anything on the other girls. They could only prove it on this one girl.
Where did the proof come from? If it didn't work for all the other girls, where'd the proof come from for this one?
Well, that's what's interesting. It was basically Warren's own writings. He was very... everything he did, he documented. He kept daily notes almost to the minute of everything he did, and he kept this in an archive. And when they did the raid in Texas, they found his archives, and in his own writings, he confessed to what he did. He confessed to raping this girl. They knew the dates that it happened, where it happened, and it was basically he incriminated himself by his own words.
And in the entire time before this, there wasn't one family member, a parent, a mother, a father, or even a victim that was willing to come forward and say, hold on a second, no, you're not taking my 12-year-old daughter to rape. No one had said that before.
Nope, no one had ever said that before. They all just went with it. And you have to understand, everything in that church is fear-based. They control people by fear, by saying, here's what I want to do, and if you don't do it, you will lose everything. It's not just, you know, a slap on the wrist. It's you lose everything, your whole life. And he instructs everybody that has anything to do with you, including your immediate family, to never have any contact with you. So you are basically booted from a life to absolutely nothing. And so they did it out of fear of that. It's all fear-based. And the control is just amazing. It's hard to describe it, but the control is absolutely amazing, because they actually tell you if you don't obey the prophet, you will die.
Yeah. Well, okay. So we've got to talk about. Well, I have so many questions for you. Wallace Jeffs.
I wish you had more time.
Yeah, Wallace Jeffs is chatting with us. He's a half brother of polygamous cult leader Warren Jeffs. He's also the author of this new book, "Destroying Their God: How I Fought My Evil Half Brother to Save My Children." The website is destroyingtheirgod.com. Mr. Jeffs, you get into this car accident. You run into the back of a truck because your brakes don't work. You're knocked out. You're in a coma for how long?
45 days.
You come to, and your children and wives are gone. What the community threatened actually happened. They were gone. Is that right?
Correct. Yep. They came and gathered them up right after the accident and put them in hiding again.
You know, Wallace, in our country, a court decides who gets the kids. How does that change in your world? Or how is it different in your world?
I did have legal custody. But where the mother is still loyal to the church and you are not, and if I'm incapacitated, of course they go to the mother, even though I have legal custody. But they don't care about the law. Law means nothing to the people in the church. They think they're above the law and that the law should be subject to them. So they don't care about the law. They just do whatever they feel they have to do. And in their, you know, in their sick, twisted way, they felt that taking the children was perfectly right because they belong to the prophet, not to me.
So go get them.
Control they have.
Go get them.
They just went and go get them. They don't care.
No, but
the law means nothing to them.
But why don't you just go get your kids?
because they had them hidden. They have houses of hiding all over the country, and they hide them. You don't know where they are.
Jeez.
That's why I had to file a legal lawsuit to find them.
Yeah.
It's the only way you can.
Yeah, I was just trying to put myself in your shoes. If anything like that went down with me, I would turn into Liam Neeson, and I would have a very certain set of skills, and I would go and find my kids. And anyway, it's not
that
easy.
Believe me, I thought of that.
Yeah, yeah.
That thought crossed my mind.
Well, the Lord apparently revealed to Warren Jeffs, your half-brother, that God was going to punish you by killing you. How did you find out that information? Did you get a text that said that? Like, how do you come across that information?
He said that actually in a church meeting, and one of the people who was in attendance of the church told me about it. I had what was called moles in the church that would they could communicate with that would tell me what was going on.
Moly.
So he said it in a public church. So, but
did he say how God was going to kill you? Does God know anything about brake lines?
No, he doesn't tell you how. He just said that this is a revelation, and you know, I had done something so terribly wrong that I deserved to die, and I was going to get killed. So, yeah, he doesn't go into detail. He just says this is what the Lord says, and that's what's going to happen.
Is your half brother evil because he wrecked your family, or because he's evil?
Just because he's evil. He's just twisted and sick, and he's just a sick, sick individual. He's casting me out. It's not what made him what he is. He is what he is because of, number one, his mother. His mother taught him to be what he is, and by his own choices, he just chose to be what he is.
But weren't you raised by the same woman?
Yes. Yes, I was. But I was not hers, and I was not special. Warren was special, so he got treated special. Anything he did was all right. He could do no wrong. And when he did do wrong, she covered it up and told him he didn't do wrong. So he was raised believing anything he did was right because he was special.
Yeah, we've all met kids like that. Jeez.
Yeah. I was not special because I was not hers. I was just the kid that was in the way.
Wallace, let me ask you sort of straight up here. Growing up the way you grew up with how many siblings again?
65
siblings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the numbers are just incredible when it comes to how many wives and fathers involved and all this kind of stuff. The community that you grew up in, I don't know how to ask this without sounding like just an absolute jerk.
Go ahead. I hear it all the time.
Okay.
It's nothing new to me.
Okay. Something has got to be wrong with you. Not just Warren Jeffs, but there's got to be some kind of, like, this growing up this way has got to have such a profound impact on you that there's got to be something wrong with you, man.
I have to be sick and twisted like he is.
Well, obviously I'm not saying that, but you can, I don't think you can grow up that way and not be scathed or scarred somehow.
Well, I look at it this way. I am who I am because of the way I was raised, but I did not make the choices that he made. I made different choices in my life. Mm-hmm. And I sought different things. I did not seek power and glory and control like he did. So even though it was hell living in there, I still believed that God was just and God was right, and somehow he would make it right with me. But it's not fun. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone.
You know, a few years ago, I can't even remember when this was, I had Winston Blackmore on the show twice. And, of course, Winston is the leader of the polygamous Canadian community called Bountiful. But I think Winston finally lost the court battles, and I think Winston is also behind bars. Is that true?
Yes, he is. I think he got a 6-month term for polygamy.
So he actually got charged, arrested, charged, and convicted with polygamy.
Mm-hmm.
But Warren Jeffs was not arrested and charged and convicted of polygamy. It was rape.
Correct.
So Winston, I wonder if Winston Blackmore had wives that were underage. I'm pretty sure he did. So how did he not get charged with rape? I mean, what I'm doing is contrasting 6 months in prison for polygamy versus the rest of your life in prison for multiple rapes. They both did the same thing.
I don't know that much about Winston. All I know is he had 25 wives, but I do not know the ages of any of his wives.
Yeah, actually,
never close to Winston. So.
Yeah. Coming back to that, and let me just use the legal terms: allegedly. Hopefully, I've said that enough to cover everything. But I remember asking. I remember talking to Winston Blackmore about this, and I remember him being very shady about the answer to the question. You know, how old are your wives? He just would not answer that on air. So I guess either he's very good about covering his tracks, or he just legitimately didn't want the interview to be hijacked by that question.
Oh, okay. I don't know anything about Winston and his wives. I've never been close to that. So
yeah. Well, listen, I thank you, Wallace, for sharing your journey with us, for writing this book, and for shedding a bit of light on a community that the rest of us really have only sort of sensationalistic glimpses on through media, right? But to hear from the horse's mouth, I guess I've just called you a horse, to hear from you, Wallace, thank you very, very much for sharing your time with us today.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
All right. Wallace Jeffs, half-brother, polygamous cult leader Warren Jeffs, author of Destroying Their God, How I Fought My Evil Half-Brother to Save My Children. Oh, just before we go, I'm just looking at the clock. We've got to get on to our next guest here. But just real quickly, do you have any of your kids back?
Yes, I've got most. They're pretty much all out of the church. I have contact with most of them, but not all of them. There's still a few who I call loyal to Warren, and they will not talk to me. But most of them do, and yeah, they're all out now.
It's a beautiful feeling. Beautiful feeling. I appreciate your time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Wallace Jeffs on the Drew Marshall Show.